In today's passage, we find a scene where our Lord Jesus shared the Last Supper with His disciples on the night before He was crucified. At the time, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, He also took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Then, why do we eat and drink the bread and the cup, which represent the body and the blood of Jesus? Also, what exactly does the new covenant mean? We must correctly understand the spiritual meaning behind this, so that our souls can prosper and receive the blessing of eternal life. Therefore, I pray it in our Lord's name that whether you are a new believer or someone already familiar with the message, you will receive the word with a renewed heart and grow in faith. Brothers and sisters, we need to eat food to stay healthy and sustain our lives. However, no matter how much we eat physical food, it cannot give us true life that lasts forever. Eventually, men all come to face death. That's why our Lord said in John chapter 6, verse 48, "I'm the bread of life." And in verse 51, "I'm the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats from this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I will give for the life of the world also is my flesh." Namely, He meant that the true food that gives eternal life is His flesh, as John chapter 1 verse 1 says. People live longer. They want to have, especially if they have wealth and honor, they want to die. They want to hold these things for long. They lived so hard to gather wealth. But at some point, they are about to die. So it's very sad. So I read an article, and some rich man said, "I work hard to get wealth, but it's my children who enjoys that." I read this article. So if you have much, you want to die. In the history, especially the king in ancient China, the king of Qin, he didn't want to die. He didn't want to lose everything and disappear. So he looked for the grass, and he hired many people to find the grass, that a never aging grass. But so people look for, but there are no food or drug that keeps you from aging. But we have the eternal life, which is His flesh is the our. How can we eat His flesh? 2,000 years ago He died. How could we discover His body? This is not about the physical meaning, but it has spiritual meaning. As John chapter 1 verse says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God." And verse 14 states, "And the Word and God are not separate things, but Word was God." In the beginning, the God existed for Himself, and then verse 14 states, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus is God the Word who became flesh and came to this earth. Jesus is God the Word who became flesh and came to this earth. Therefore, the flesh of Jesus who came in the flesh refers to God's Word of truth. You may think you have to discover the body of Jesus in Israel. It's not about that. But His flesh means the Word of truth. Then, what does it mean spiritually to eat the flesh of Jesus? the Bible is the flesh of Jesus. Does this mean we have to eat the pay? You have to understand this spiritual meaning. It means to take the Word of God recorded in the all 66 books as our spiritual nourishment. It is too important to make bread of the Word. How? Here, to take it as spiritual nourishment doesn't simply mean to store it as knowledge in our heads after hearing it. It means to deeply engrave the word you've heard in your heart, keep it in mind, and put it into practice. You have to diligently listen to the word, read it, and then understand God's will and the Lord's will contained in it, and keep it in your heart. This is to eat the flesh of Jesus. This is to take His word as spiritual nourishment. It's not just about reading the Bible a lot. But once we read it, we have to figure out, understand its meaning. You know, in the Sunday morning service, we talked about the blessing of praising God and giving thanks to God. And we talked about the reason why we have to give thanks. I gave you several reasons. We have to rejoice and always and pray. And just memorizing the Bible verses is not taking His word as nourishment. So, but we have to understand why we have to rejoice, what we have to understand and keep it in our heart. This is basically taking His word as our spiritual nourishment. We have to figure out, understand the word, then we can act accordingly. Without knowing its meaning, we cannot obey. When I deal with the church workers, some people give me a report. And I receive reports from secretaries, and I also deliver my message through secretaries. They try their best to deliver their messages, but once they misunderstand my message, So in order to act according to God's word, we have to first figure out, deeply understand His word. The first thing we have to do is listen and know. Without knowing and listening, we cannot understand it. So first, we have to diligently listen to and read the word of God, and then try to understand through fervent prayer. Also, we have to sincerely worship God. And through Holy Spirit's help, we can have an awakening or enlightenment. Just because you have a lot of worldly knowledge doesn't mean you can understand the word well. Only through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you can understand and figure out the meaning. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 8 describes in detail how deeply we are to hold God's word in our hearts. We have to cherish the word of God. These words, which I am commanding you today, shall be on your heart, and you shall repeat them diligently to your sons and speak of them when you sit in your house. Parents, you send your kids to... Parents, do you teach your kids to love God first? Do you teach your kids to stay on alert in prayer? Then you will, if not, you will regret later on. Even though you get them to study hard, but you don't teach them to love God first. So once they grow up, they are out of your control. So you live no different from worldly people. Even though they have to run for heaven, they may have physical success, but because you didn't teach them spiritually, even though you try to give advice, they don't listen. That's why, of course, parents have to teach their children to study well, but they have to also teach them spiritually. As God told us, we have to, and the word of God says, and you shall repeat them diligently to your sons and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. You shall also tie them as a sign to your hand, and they shall be frontals on your forehead. And that's how God emphasizes that the Word of God is important. No matter where you go or what you do, it is God's will that you always remember His Word. Keep it close and deeply engraved on your heart. To help you obey this, we include daily Bible verses for memorization in the church bulletin and on our website. But let me ask you, are you truly keeping His Word close to you and making your spiritual nourishment day after day? If you truly hope for New Jerusalem, you will surely take in this true food that gives eternal life each day and grow to resemble the heart of Christ, who is the truth. As you do so, you can quickly come forth as spiritual warrior, defeating the enemy devil with the sword of the Word and accomplishing God's kingdom. Brothers and sisters, when we eat the flesh of Jesus, we must also drink His blood, the true drink that helps us digest His flesh. Just because we eat His flesh diligently is not everything. We have to drink His blood as well. Then we can digest it so we can absorb its nutrients and take out the waste from our body so we can have a healthy life. In John chapter 6, verses 53 and 54, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in yourselves. The one who eats My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Then, what does it spiritually mean to drink the blood of the Son of Man? It is to keep and live out the Word of God through faith. Blood is one with life, and Jesus was nailed to the cross for sinners who were destined for death and shed His precious blood. Therefore, whoever believes in this truth can receive the forgiveness of sins and enjoy eternal life. Those who believe that Jesus, the Son of God, poured out all His blood and water on the cross for their sins, repent, and come before God. And they strive to live according to the Word of Father God. To act in faith like this is what it means to drink the blood of the Son of Man. And God allows those who do so to enjoy eternal life. Some Christians, they diligently attend worship service and they become ingrained Christianity. Many Christians don't attend the Sunday worship and they go camping on Sunday. And if they come to worship on Sunday, they basically eat the flesh of Jesus, but just eating His flesh is not life. They have to drink His blood as well. Without drinking His blood, so many Christians don't drink His blood. They have to act by the words they heard. This is without acting, they say they are saved. They will go to heaven when the Lord comes. It's their misconception. It's not the faith that Father God acknowledges. Faith is to believe that Jesus shed His precious blood and loving the Lord is not committing sins. And They have to try hard. This is true faith. This is eating the, drinking the blood of the Lord. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 also tells us, but if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. God is light. The Bible says that God is the light, and we also know that He is the light, and the darkness is the enemy devil. God is in the light. As His children, if we stay in the darkness, could we be called His children? If we are His children, we have to come out of the darkness and dwell in the light. Dwelling in the light itself is to, it's acting according to the word. But the first John, when we dwell in the light, then His blood, His precious blood will cleanse us from all sin. When we first accept Jesus, we had lived in the darkness, but without free of charge, Jesus shed His blood to redeem us. Once we believe this, we come out of the darkness and into the light. We are saved. We are forgiven for the past sin, and the people who accept Jesus Christ and accept the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they are forgiven. But the problem is, that doesn't mean we can, it is a guarantee that we go to heaven. As we are living in this earth, we have to discover our sinful natures and evil. But if we, some people are confused that because even after you are forgiven for your past sin, but you still have sinful natures and evil in your heart. You still have the attributes that causes you to commit sin. And you have the things of the flesh and the fleshly desires, and you also have the evil still in you, even after accepting the Lord. Even though there are, even if you can be saved, but even after accepting the Lord, people commit sins again and again because there are sinful natures remaining. To root out the sinful natures, to remove the sinful natures, this is the life of dwelling in the light. This is drinking the blood of the Son of Man. But even if you, but if you still have maintained your sinful natures and the evil, sinful natures don't just stay in the same place. They are manifested as these. If you still, what is the problem? They don't drink the blood of the Son of Man. They know, they believe, physically believe and know Jesus' blood. They have physical knowledge. They have knowledge in their head. But it's not that as they make efforts, the Holy Spirit helps, and then they can cast off their sins and evil. This is the drinking His blood. This is the way we have to remember this again, and we have to live accordingly. This is the new covenant by our Lord. This is the new covenant our Lord established by giving His body and blood for us. In the past, before that, But after Jesus shed all his body and blood, this is a new covenant. New. Once you believe and receive salvation, then you have to act according to the word of God. But some people, however, some say that since we now live in the New Testament era, the age of grace, we can be saved just by confessing, "I believe," with our lips. But what proves that such faith is true in the eyes of God? Merely saying, "Lord, Lord," doesn't mean we are truly believe. One must cast off the works of the darkness and dwell in the light by living according to God's word. Only then can they be acknowledged as truly believing. If they do not have such clear evidence, the Bible says they are lying before God. 1 John chapter 1 verse 6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." And 1 John chapter 2 verse 4 tells us, "The one who says, 'You say, I believe the Lord, but live in the sins and evil,' then you are lying," the Bible says. Namely, and 1 John chapter 2 verse 4 tells us, "The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." On the other hand, when we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Thus, those with true faith must cast off all forms of evil that belongs to the darkness and strive to live by God's word. They must cast off hatred, jealousy, envy, strife, anger, judgment, and condemnation, self-seeking heart, and the breaking of peace, all of which go against the word of God. Instead, as they act by the words of love, goodness, and truth, they can come forth as men of spirit resembling Father God. This is drinking the blood of the Son of Man. This is a right, proper Christian life. And to these people, the spiritual everlasting life is given. Let me conclude the message, brothers and sisters. The reason that Jesus instituted the Holy Communion and commanded us to do this in remembrance is because people tend to forget the grace and favor they have received. Knowing the human heart so well, as I explained in the Sunday morning service, people are prone to forget things. We have to remember God's grace always, but people easily forget them, forsake them. Knowing the human heart so well, Jesus gave us the Holy Communion so that each time we partake in it, we would deeply realize the loving grace of God who saved us from sins and always renew our hearts. Three times we have the Holy Communion, I make sure to deliver messages about the Holy Communion. If you attend this church just for 5 years, you can know exactly about the meaning of Holy Communion. If you worship God in spirit and in truth, you know everything. You can even explain and share it with others. But just because you know it physically doesn't mean you take it as a spiritual nourishment. We have to act accordingly. When you partake in the Holy Communion, you have learned it so well, but you have to check whether you have lived according to you have learned. It's so easy, but you have to check how much you have lived. If you find yourself not having lived so, in the Easter, we also learned about that, but you also forgot about that. You have to know, you have to repent, and again, you have to make a resolve, and you have a chance, an opportunity to renew ourselves. This is truly something truly to be thankful for. As you partake in the Holy Communion, you have to think about the Jesus' flesh. When you eat the bread, which signifies Jesus' flesh, you shouldn't just consider it as a piece of bread, but you have to think about why you have to think about the flesh of Jesus. When Jesus was flogged, his chunk of his flesh was taken off. This is his flesh. You have to check whether you are cherishing his word. Also, as we drink his cup, we have to remember how he was crucified and his blood was dripping from the cross. And this is the blood of Jesus, which he shed to save me. And in order to give me eternal happiness in heaven, we have to check whether we are still befriending the world, still find the word of God difficult. We have to, if you make a resolve like this, then you have to, as you do so, so you have to make this message your own until the next Holy Communion, the Thanksgiving. I mean, therefore, as you participate in the Holy Communion and eat the bread and drink the cup that represent the Lord's body and blood, I ask you to remember the new covenant established by His holy body and blood. The Lord gave His flesh and blood like this. If we eat and drink it, I mean, the Lord promised it. The Lord gave us, established a new covenant. And so when we eat it, we have to remember it. We have to keep it in mind. You are to lead a right Christian life where you daily take the word as spiritual nourishment and act by faith. Furthermore, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 urges us, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." This is the earnest plea of our Lord that we would diligently proclaim why Jesus was crucified, why He gave His body as a peace offering on the cross, and why He shed His precious blood, so that even one more soul may be saved before the judgment comes. May all of you deeply engrave in your hearts the desperate cry of the Lord. I always thank the people who evangelize others. New names are called, and I always thank them. I also thank the God and thank people who led them to church. They considered it their calling and their duty, but that calling is not specific to them, but they are all for all of us. Me and elders and pastors and senior deaconesses and deaconesses and deacons and all of you. You have this because we have been saved by His precious blood. The Lord gave us this calling. This is earnest plea. Until we, when we, to save souls, we have to evangelize. Without evangelizing, who could know Jesus Christ? We have to diligently share. We have this, received this calling, so we have to devote ourselves to sharing, and we have to visit souls and take care of our souls, take care of the souls, fellow members. May all of you deeply engrave in your hearts the desperate cry of the Lord who said on the cross, "I am thirsty," and develop the zeal to always preach the gospel, whether in season or out of season. Therefore, when the Lord returns, may you hear this blessing: "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our true life and power."
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, to avoid their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. scorched them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu. Go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cancel sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.